This is the next night. When Miss Sally's little boy went to Uncle Remus the next night to hear the conclusion of the adventure in which the rabbit made a riding horse of the fox, to the great enjoyment and gratification of Miss Meadows and the girls, he found the old man in bad humor. "I ain't telling no tales to bad children," said Uncle Remus curtly. "But Uncle Remus, I ain't bad," said the little boy plaintively. "Who dat chunking them chickens this morning? Who dat knocking out folks' eyes with dat yellow hammer sling just for dinner? Who dat sticking that pinter puppy out of my pig? Who dat scattering my ingham sets? Who dat flinging rocks on top of my house, which a little more than one on them would have dropped spang on my head?" "Well, now, Uncle Remus, I didn't go to do it. I won't do so anymore. Please, Uncle Remus, if you'll tell me, I'll run to the house and bring you some tea cakes." "Seeing them's better than hearing tell of them," replied the old man, the severity of his countenance relaxing somewhat. But the little boy darted out and in a few minutes came running back with his pockets full and his hands full. "I lay your mammy a suspicion that the rat's stomachs is widening in this neighborhood when she come for the count of her cakes," said Uncle Remus with a chuckle. "These," he continued, dividing the cakes into two equal parts, "these I'll tackle now, and these I'll lay by for Sunday. Let me see, I most just remember whereabouts Burr Fox and Burr Rabbit was. The rabbit rode the fox to Miss Meadows's and hitched him to the horse rack," said the little boy. "Why, of course he did," said Uncle Remus, "of course he did. Well, Rabbit rid Burr Fox up, he did, and tied him to the rack, and then sot out in the piazza with the gals, a-smoking his cigar, with more proudness than what you most ever see. They talk and they sing and they play on the piano, the gals did, till by it come time for Burr Rabbit for to be gwine. And he tell them all goodbye and strut out to the horse rack, same as if he was the king of the paterollers. And then he mount Burr Fox and ride off." Paterola, by the way, was patrols, and the country districts order was kept on the plantations at night by the knowledge they were liable to be visited at any moment by the patrols. Burr Fox ain't saying nothing at all. He just rack off, he did, and keep his mouth shut, and Burr Rabbit knowed there was business cooking up for him, and he feel monster skittish. Burr Fox amble on till he get in the long lane out of sight of Miss Meadows' house, and then he turn loose, he did. He rip and he draw and he cuss and he swore. He snort and he cavort. "What was he doing that for, Uncle Remus?" the little boy inquired. "He was trying for to fling Burr Rabbit off in his back, bless your soul. But he might as well wrestle with his own shadow. Every time he humped himself, the rabbit slapped the spurs in him, and darted ahead up and down. But Fox Farley tore up the ground, he did. And he jumped so high and he jumped so quick that he might as well snatch his own tail off. They keep a gwine on this way till a bombard for Fox lay down and roll over, he did. And this sort of unsettled the rabbit. But by the time Burr Fox got back on his footses again, Burr Rabbit was gwine through the underbrush, most samer than a racehorse. Burr Fox, he lit out on him, he did, and he pushed Burr Rabbit so close that it was about all he could do for to get in a hollow tree. Hole too low for Burr Fox for to get in, and he had to lay down and rest and gather his mind together. While he was laying there, Mr. Buzzard come flopping along, and seeing Burr Fox stretch out on the ground, he lit and viewed the premises. Then Mr. Buzzard sort of shake his wing and put his head on one side and say to himself, says he, "Burr Fox dead, and I so sorry," says he. "No, I ain't dead nother," said Burr Fox, says he. "I got old man Rabbit pent up in here," says he, "and I'm a gwine get him this time if it takes 12 Christmas," says he. Then, after some more palaver, Burr Fox make a bargain that Mr. Buzzard was to watch the hole and keep Burr Fox's dog whilst Burr Fox went out of his axe. Denver Fox, he lope off, he did, and Mr. Buzzard, he took up his stand at the hole. By and by, when all gets still, Brer Rabbit sort of scrambled down close to the hole, he did, and he hollered out, "Brer Fox! Oh, Brer Fox!" Brer Fox done gone, and nobody say nothing. And Brer Rabbit squalled out like he was mad, says he, "You needn't talk less you want to," says he. "I knows you are, and I ain't curing," says he. "I just want to tell you, I wish mighty bad Bert Turkey Buzzard was here," says he. Then Mr. Buzzard tried to talk like Brer Fox. "What you want, Mr. Buzzard?" says he. "Oh, nothing in tickler, except there's the fattest gray squirrel in here that ever I see," says he. "And if Bert Turkey Buzzard was round, he'd be mighty glad for to get him," says he. "How must the buzzard go and get him?" says the buzzard, says he. "Well, there's a little hole around on the other side of the tree," says Brer Rabbit, says he. "And if Brer Turkey Buzzard was here so he could take up his stand off," says he, "I'll drive that squirrel out," says he. "Drive him out then," said Mr. Buzzard, says he. "And I'll see that Brer Turkey Buzzard gets him," says he. Then Brer Rabbit kick up a racket like he was driving something out. Mr. Buzzard, he rush round for to catch the squirrel, and Brer Rabbit, he dash out, he did, and he just fly for home. At this point, Uncle Remus took one of the tea cakes, held his head back, opened his mouth, dropped the cake in with a sudden motion, looked at the little boy with an expression of astonishment, and then closed his eyes and began to chew, mumbling in an accompaniment, and as an accompaniment, the plaintive tune of, "Don't you grieve after me." The seance was over, but before the little boy went into the big house, Uncle Remus laid his rough hand tenderly on the child's shoulder and remarked in a confidential tone, "Honey, you must get up soon Christmas morning and open the door, because I'm going to bounce in on Marse John and Miss Sally and holler, 'Christmas gift!' That's like I used to endure in the farming days before the war, when old Miss was alive. I bound to don't forget the old nigger nutter. When you hear me calling the pigs, honey, you just hop up and unfasten the door. I'll give Marse John one of these here surprise parties."